was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The reach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains and freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death and life has no end. I have been transformed by the blood.
It has all.
in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with the load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despite forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Loving like Jesus, we'll look at some of the lesser known attributes of him, not the most obvious ones, and I think, but some that are very prominent, should be very important to us. So today we're going to look at Jesus being approachable. And that is also important as well. We're going to be in Matthew chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 18. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They straightway left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought unto him all the sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Fathers, we look at this passage and we see, Jesus, that as you called your disciples and as you began your public ministry, that folks just flooded to you. They felt welcome around you. They felt as though you actually understood them and cared about them. And God, that's an attribute that we need in our world today. We need that care. We need that love. We need that compassion. We need that respect of each other. We need folks around us to know that we truly care about them. And God, that is why we must be approachable. We must be those kind of people, as you were, Jesus, that regardless of what's going on in folks' lives, they are comfortable to come to us and to talk to us, that we can pray together, we can reason together. So God, as we talk about this great trait in your life, we pray, God, that we would have spiritual ears to hear and that we would gain wisdom from you today. Forgive me of all of my sins, all of my unrighteousness, anything, everything that would hinder me in serving you today. You've been glorified already to this point. It's been wonderful to be in your house, and we praise you. We thank you for that. God, I ask you to take the remainder of this service and just preach to us. Give us what we need from your word that we can draw closer to you. We love you, praise you, thank you. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Unless you lost your seat while you were standing up, somebody messed with it. Just sit in the floor or just gather around wherever you got to get. But looking at being approachable, that's one that we really don't think a whole lot about when we think about Jesus. But when we mention that word, it becomes very prominent. It's like, oh, wow, yeah, absolutely. Jesus is approachable. He had to be approachable. And so the definition of approachable is this. It means plainness in speech, easy to understand, and accessible. Now, I can identify with the accessible part. I believe that I'm fairly accessible, but being plainness in speech and easy to understand, I don't know that I fit that category. So one out of three is not bad for us. But being somebody, as Christ was, that people could just come up to him. It didn't matter who they were, where they were from, they were able to come up to him and find somebody that sympathized with them and their ailment if they had a disease. I know that a lot of folks came to Jesus and others brought people to Jesus because they wanted to get them to Jesus because they knew they wanted them to be healed. Did approachableness really come into play there? Well, maybe not so much, but they knew they could go to him. They knew they could go to him and he would heal. But also I think they knew in their heart of hearts that he was going to be compassionate on their plight. So Jesus was very approachable. As a matter of fact, he was a little bit scary approachable. I mean, there are some people that will never come around you, right? I remember I had the opportunity years ago. I'd already left where I was at Roaring Fork, been up there for almost 7 years, 6.5 years, came here, hadn't been pastor here too long till I met a guy at a grocery store or gas station. We were getting gas. He was on a big Harley, you know, he had all the leather on and everything, and he just started talking, you know, he just started a conversation with me and found out that I was a preacher. And he said, well, what are you doing Thursday night? And I said, I really have no idea. He said, why don't you come over and preach for us? And I said, where are you at? And he said, we're at the biker church. You know what I said? Sign me up. Praise the Lord, yeah. So I went over and I didn't wear skinny jeans or nothing like that. I just wore regular blue jeans. But I didn't wear my tie. You know, of course, I just knew, and I just went in, and I preached the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, there's some precious people that were in that congregation. Man, they love the Lord. You know, and some of the folks that were there had gone through some things that maybe some of you will never have to go through. So they knew how good it was to be forgiven. They knew how sweet it was to be saved and be delivered and set free. And I tell you that... to just say I was thankful I had that opportunity that he was able to approach me after we talked and invite me to come and preach one night in their church. And I count it a great privilege and honor to be able to do that. But you know, there are some people that will never come to you and never come to me because I don't know if it's because how we present ourselves, the type of people that we run with, maybe the way we speak, I don't know, maybe our age, I don't know. There are going to be some folks that we're just never going to have an opportunity to minister to. But the problem here, and the reason it's important for us to address being approachable, is that there are people that would come to us if we were approachable. So Jesus is very approachable. In Matthew 11 and 28, here's what Jesus said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, come unto me, most of you, or a lot of you, but he said, come unto me, all of you. So Jesus is opening that door to say, I want everybody to come to me. Matthew 13, verses 1 and 2. The same day went Jesus out of the house, and he sat by the seaside, and a great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So Jesus never excluded anybody. Everybody was welcome to come to him, and he would minister to them. He met from the poorest and the lowest of the low, the people that most of society had already cast out and said, you're worthless, you're no benefit to us. If you can't benefit me, then I have no reason being a friend of yours. That's how society thinks. Do you think that way? I hope not. I hope we don't value people dependent on what they can do for us, but I hope that we're open and we're willing to be approachable to those that are around us. Okay, here's a good one for you, because we're all guilty of this. When the phone rings and you look and you see who it is, have you ever gone, everybody in the house has done that, amen. So there are some people in life, and you're probably related to them, that we try to, as best we can, avoid. But Jesus was very approachable. Anybody, everybody could call him and he would answer, and it didn't matter who it was. Nicodemus came to him in the middle of the night because, well, we can say whatever reason we want to, whether he was just afraid to come during the day or whether he was tied up because of all the responsibilities and the only time he could really get to Jesus. Nonetheless, he did want to know the truth and he came to Jesus. You know what Jesus did after he'd had a hard day at the office and Jesus had been talking to people, healing people, sharing the gospel with people? What did Jesus do when Nicodemus came? He welcomed him in because Nicodemus knew that Jesus would sit and talk to him. He just had a feeling that was that kind of guy. And so there are people of all walks of life. Jairus came and wanted to talk to Jesus. His daughter was dead. He needed him to come and to resurrect her from the dead. He needed that touch. The lady, she left her home and went to find Jesus. You know what she did? She broke the law to get to Jesus because she was unclean and she was supposed to be put up for 7 days according to the law. She broke the law of Moses because she knew, I got to get to Jesus because he's the only one that can help me. So even though she was desiring the healing, at the same time, she knew that Jesus was somebody she could go to. It's one thing to know that somebody has what you need. It's something else to feel like you can actually ask them to help you with what you need. Amen? Are there people in this world that could help you with situations you think in your life? Whatever kind of situation it is. But you don't go to some of them. Why? Because they're not approachable. Because if you go to them, what are they going to do? They're going to reprimand you. They're going to fuss at you. They're going to tell you they don't have time for you and for I. But Jesus was very approachable. Not only did he make himself an open door to anybody and everybody that walked by. I mean, he's heading to one place with Jairus, and then she comes along. It's like multiple healings are taking place just as Jesus went through life. So he was very approachable. So he taught being approachable as well. Luke 15, 1 and 2, it said, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans, all the sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying," here's what they said, "This man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them." We talked about Simon before, that Jesus was invited to his house, wanting to come over and eat with him. He went and ate with him. And then the lady came in, all the baggage she brought in the alabaster box. Remember her tears? She poured tears as she anointed his feet while he was eating. And then Simon and some of the people called her out and said, "What in the world's going on here? Don't you realize this woman's a sinner?" And Jesus said, "Simon, I've got something against you, buddy. Listen, she came here seeking repentance and healing and cleansing. She's washing my feet with her tears, and nobody in your house offered to wash my feet." But it just shows us again that Jesus is approachable, and anybody is welcome to come to him. That woman felt, even though she knew that everybody in that house hated her and despised her, and you know what? Had already labeled her. She knew Jesus was in the house, and she knew that she could go talk to Jesus. Boy, here's just a thought. This is not good. How many people, don't take this personal, because I'm going to say this about me as well. This is, how many people would not come to church here because you or I are the one that's here? I don't like it any more than you do. But are we people that are, not that we're, we don't need to condone sin. It has nothing to do with that as much as us letting folks know that we love them and we want to do everything we can to help them get in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus was very approachable. Not only was he approachable, but he taught that in the way he lived his life. The prodigal son, the parable of the son that went away. And we know he squandered all of his money. Then he came back. He said, "Well, I think I'm just going to go back home to my father, and I'd love to just be a servant of his. If I could just live in a little shack somewhere, and if I could wash dishes or do whatever he wants me to do, I would have it way better there than anywhere else." Why did he feel like that it was important for him to say, "I'm going to go back to my father's house"? Because his father was approachable. He knew that regardless of what he had done, that was still his father, and he knew that he could come home. Yeah, if he had to suffer a little bit, if he had to be corrected by his dad, he was willing to take it all because he knew that his father loved him and cared about him. And something I never knew about this story before, that this is something that possibly could have happened, that as the son came into the town or nearing the house and home of the father, you know, the Bible says that the father saw him a long way off and he ran to him. What is significant about that? And we've always taken, I've always thought, well, it's important because the father was looking for him to come home. Every day, the father probably went out a few times a day and just looked through the window, looked for his son to come home, and when he finally saw him, he ran to him. There is a Jewish custom called a keza, K-E-Z-A-Z-A-H, I believe is how it's spelled. And it's if someone has been excluded or someone has been kicked out or booted out of the family or the tribe or whatever it might be, that they're not able to come back in and just waltz right in. So it was a Jewish custom of the day. Take it for whatever you want to. But it kind of added to this story that if the son was coming home and if the father didn't run out and grab him and bring him home quickly, some of the other folks saw it and heard about it, they would have approached him at the city gates and said, I don't know what this has to do with it, but it's part of the custom. They would throw pots down at his feet. Man, man, man. You've been cut off. There's probably a lot more to it than I know, but it made sense to me that the father said, I've got to get to him before anybody else does, and I've got to bring him home before he feels as though he's unwelcome here because I love him and I want him here. And I thought, just add a little bit something extra to that story to know that the father was very passionate about reaching out to his son and making him feel welcome in his home. And the father didn't want him to experience any shame or embarrassment when he came home. And I thought that's a beautiful portrayal of being approachable. So Jesus was approachable. Jesus taught being approachable. So now the question for us is, what keeps you and I from being approachable? You know, I thought about that a long time. What is it that I do? What is my life like that would make someone feel like that I'm not approachable? And I basically just came up with one word, and it was being a snob. I don't know how better to define it, but when we are snobs, people don't feel as though we're approachable. In Jude chapter 1, verse number 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. Good definition of a snob. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, puffing up themselves and elevating themselves, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So pride, being a snob, being concerned and struck on ourselves and not really caring about anybody else. If anyone comes around and they don't have anything we can gain from a relationship with them, a snob will have absolutely nothing to do with them and be so busy that I can't spend time to deal with you and talk to you about your situation. I'm so busy in life, we can use that as an excuse. I'm so busy in life that I can't be approachable for everybody. I can't help everybody in everybody's situation because I'm so busy out here doing what I'm doing. We forsake humanity because we think we are so busy. Is humanity not our job? Yes, it is. Are we not supposed to be the light? Are we not supposed to be the salt of the earth? Are we not supposed to be how people see, hear, and feel and experience Jesus Christ? Yes, we are. So we must be approachable. We must become a person that folks can reach out to. Because Jesus is not physically here. He's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. So he said, when I leave, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within you. And so now the world is going to see me through you. The world is either going to see Jesus in us or it is not going to see Jesus in us.
Amen. That's right.
You choose. If we say, I'm only going to be approachable to a select group of people, pride is exclusive and not inclusive. Being a snob is exclusive and not inclusive. Again, don't mistake what I'm saying when I'm saying that we need to be approachable. We need to be inclusive in the fact that everybody of every walk of life should be comfortable coming to you and I and talking to us about Jesus Christ, about the truth, about what's right, about life. Not that we should ever condone sin, but we should be approachable. People that commit certain sins feel as though even if they want to repent of that sin and want to talk to somebody and help with the healing of coming through that addiction or whatever that problem is that they're facing, there are certain people that they feel as though they can't go to because all those people do is do nothing but bash them in the head repeatedly. Some people, some pastors, preachers spend this most precious time to have a captive audience to share from the Word of God, doing nothing but condemning and bashing individual sins of people. I'm not saying we shouldn't condemn sin. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes with the attitude that we present ourselves, we begin to, as ministers, elevate ourselves to a degree to where nobody can come and talk to me about anything because I've condemned every sin that everybody's doing and they feel as though I'm unapproachable. We must leave that door open to the best that we can to be welcoming, that people can come and talk to us. And you know something? You may have the opportunity to lead an addict to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You may be able to talk to somebody that is so confused, Ernest, about what gender they think they are, to find out that a man is a man and a woman is a woman, and God made you that way. You may have the opportunity to talk to somebody about things they've struggled with all through their young adult life, because they're fearful to talk to some preachers because all they're going to do is condemn them and beat them over the head. Jesus never beat anybody over the head. He was approachable, but when he had their captive audience, man, did he lay down the truth in a loving and a compassionate manner. And what did that truth do? It changed lives. You and I, we have a problem because we're not approachable at times. So it leaves us to the next question, which is, how do we become approachable? If I feel like I'm not, or if I feel like I need to grow in that, how do I become approachable? It's a great question. I'm glad you asked. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Let's pause, time out for just a second. Did you hear what I said? What those scriptures said? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What does that tell us? It tells us that Jesus is God. Amen. Any doctrine, any cult, any religion that makes Christ lesser than the Father or lesser than the Spirit is unbiblical. Jesus Christ is equal with God because he is God. So it says he thought it not robbery to consider himself equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So even though he is God, being equal with God, he is God, he chose to become a servant, he chose to become humble, he chose to lesser his position. So why did he choose to do that? To identify with us and to become approachable. What if Jesus came down here to die on a cross for our sins, but all he did was just show up down here and walk around a little bit and booked the biggest coliseums around and preached four or five times, then just went to the cross and died and was resurrected and went back up to heaven? Is that the kind of God that we really want to serve? Well, yeah, we want to go to heaven. But why did Jesus come, and why was he born, and why was he born in poverty as such, and why did he grow up the way he grew up, and why did he wait until he was 30 years old before he ever started his ministry? Why? So he could understand every facet of our life, so that Jesus could be tempted by everything we are tempted by, yet he was perfect and without spot and without blemish, so that we could have somebody, when we're facing a problem, we can say, "Jesus, do you get me?" And you know what Jesus says? "I get you. I know exactly what you're going through." He wants to be approachable for us. So that's why he's saying, "I became humble and I became a servant so that you could understand me and I can sure understand you." In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, I love this passage. And we're going to spend just a minute here before we wrap up. But he said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Okay, if we want to be approachable, what do we got to do? I think we got to love not just our enemies, we got to love everybody, right? In order for me to be somebody that's approachable, I have to love the people that I'm around. I have to, well, we can throw the word tolerate in there sometimes too, right? I have to be compassionate, and I have to be willing and love those people. So if we say the answer to being approachable is learning to love people, those that are close to us, our enemies, whoever it is, if it's loving people, then how do we begin to really love people? He gives us a three-part definition of how we do that. Number one is, he says, "Bless them that curse you." The word "bless" here means this. It means to speak well of or to speak well to. In other words, it's not slandering someone. When we read in the Old Testament about the story of Joseph and how his brothers were so cruel to him, his father even laughed when he said his father and mother were going to bow down to him. So really, your mother and I are going to bow down to you, Joseph? Whoa, you're the baby in the family here. Well, hey, we're getting a little bit big for our britches, Joseph. My brother's going to bow down to me. Mother and father are going to bow down to me. What he was saying was that vision, finally, when it came to be, is that he was going to be a way of salvation for all of his family. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. But when Joseph was here and his brothers already became angry with him because he was the favorite. Are you the baby in your family? Are you the favorite? Sometimes it works that way. But anyway, I'm the baby. I'm just saying. I hope my brother Mitch is listening. but he was ridiculed. He was mocked. He was made fun of. Father game coat, many colors represented, you know, his stature with the family. So on and on and on. We know the story. We know what ended up happening. His brothers were going to kill him. Then they decided to put him in a pit. Then they sold him into slavery. And so he ended up serving at Potiphar's house, accused of advances toward Potiphar's wife, which he didn't do, and ended up going to prison for that. And once he got out of prison for interpreting a dream of Pharaoh about 7 years of great harvest and 7 years of great famine, he elevated him to second in command in Egypt. I don't find anywhere. I'm not going to say it didn't bother him and it didn't disturb him. I'm not going to say those things because I'm sure we're all emotional people. We have emotions. He was hurt. He was upset by the things that happened with his brothers. He was broken over that. But we don't find anywhere in God's word where he slandered his brothers. Not that he didn't really have a right to kind of pick on them a little bit, but he just didn't. He just didn't. He was somebody that was patient and compassionate, because Joseph knew something that a lot of us forget when we get angry. If I shut that door, my brothers will have no way to come to me and ever feel as though we can reconcile. But if I bless them, if I speak well of them, or I speak well to them, and what did he say? He said, what you intended to bad, God intended to good. I mean, that's about as close as he got to anything talking to them about what they did. He acknowledged what they did. He wasn't blind to the fact of what they did. But he left that door open to where even some of his worst enemies were able to come and reconcile with him. That's a beautiful thing. So you and I, if we want to truly begin to be accessible, approachable, and love people, we must bless them. Second thing he said is you need to do good to them that hate you. To do good here basically means to do honest. It means to live a life of honesty. You get mad at somebody, what do we want to do? What's the first thing typically we want to do? We want to go to everybody that we know that we like, and we want to slam them about everything terrible they've done to us in our life. We're all guilty of it, right? But what he's telling us is that if I'm truly wanting to be approachable and I want to love people, then I'm going to have to do good or do honest, even when I'm talking about those people. Now sometimes the truth hurts because it is the truth, but we must be honest and godly in how we do these things. David chose to let God fight his battle for him rather than David taking up arms against King Saul. Two occasions that David had opportunity to kill King Saul and take over the kingdom. David had already been anointed the next king of Israel. He knew it. God had already anointed him by Samuel. He knew he was the next king. Saul knew that he was the next king. It was hidden to nobody. Everybody knew about it. That's why Saul wanted him dead. So he came to a cave. Saul was searching for David, hunting him down like a wild animal. And he went into a cave to relieve himself. He took his overcoat off and laid it by the entrance to the cave, and David slipped up and cut a little bit off of that overcoat. And later on, when Saul was with his men, David stood a long way off, and he said, "Hey, Saul, I had a chance to take you down, buddy, but I didn't." Later on, they were all asleep, and Saul had this favorite spear. You know, when you read about Saul, he had a spear with him a lot of times. He even threw a javelin at David at one time. But he had that spear that was kind of a trademark of his, and he was laying with it, sleeping with it. He had some of his best men around him. And the Bible says that God caused a deep sleep to fall on the men, and David just walked right in, grabbed the spear and took it back with him on another hill, and he yelled and woke Saul up and said, "Hey, Saul, I had another chance to kill you, but I didn't." And here's the verse of scripture that I want us to get to, and the reason I'm talking about David and Saul and doing honest instead of taking revenge into our own hands rather than let God fight for us. 1 Samuel 24:12, he said, "The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee." That's what doing good is to them that hate you. That's what doing honest to them that hate you. It's about us doing exactly what it is that God's telling us we need to do, and let God be our champion. Let him fight for us. Thirdly, he said, "Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." If you and I want to be approachable, we're going to have to start praying for people. Do you like praying for your enemies? Nope. You want to pray for somebody who don't like you? Nope. You want to pray for somebody that's been mean to you? No. But if I want to make things better, if I want to be in a position where I can become approachable and helpful in their life or even in my life, then I need to begin to pray. 2 Chronicles, and pray basically means in most instances worship. 2 Chronicles 20:18, two scriptures I want to read in regard to Jehoshaphat and his ambush that some people tried to rally around and attack him. Moab, Ammon, I believe in Mount Seir, these people were closing in on him. So verse 18 says, "Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. All of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord." So rather than him say, "Boys, grab your arms, everybody grab everything you can, get rocks, get clay pots, we'll throw them at them, whatever we got, let's get ready to fight." Here's what he did. He got on his face before God and he started to pray. And it said that they worshiped God. They weren't just praying for a way out. They were praising God and worshiping God. And in verse number 22, just a few verses down, it says, "When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." They ended up killing each other. When you and I decide we're going to start praising God, God does amazing things. So you see, the fight is not ours. We don't have to be the one to stand with all of the armor. What we've got to do in order for us to be approachable and help make a difference in somebody's life, in their relationship to Christ, we've got to begin to love them. So can you look at this list, bless, do good, and to pray? Can you say that's who you are? Man, I would love to say that that's who I am, but there are times it's hard, isn't it? But if I want to be able to make a difference in people's lives, then I've got to, I have to. It's vital that I become approachable. Jesus was approachable, and he knew how important it was. Because there are people that need to see and hear and experience Jesus. And you know what he's done? He's left you and me here to be that passageway. We're the clay in the potter's hands, and we need to let him form us to be whatever he wants us to be so that we can affect the kingdom of God. If you're here today and you are not approachable, or you struggle with that, or you have problems with that, you feel like there's a lot of growth that needs to happen there, then I invite you to this altar when we begin our invitation. But if you're here today and you say, "Preacher, before I could even become approachable, I need to get saved." If Jesus is pleading with the power of the Holy Spirit today, pleading with you, and you're not saved, if you feel that conviction on your heart, Well, Colson Felton, some of these other kids, I know Scotty and some of you, I don't know if Tim was in there or not, y'all had some kids talking, had a ton of questions about Jesus and about getting saved. I believe through these next 3 weeks, we're going to see a lot more little fellas give their heart to Jesus. But if you're here today and the Spirit's dealing with you and you need to get saved, I encourage you to come. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Because you know something? He is approachable. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, how terrible you think you've been. Even though people may not want you to approach them, Jesus stands today with open arms. Stand with me as we pray. Father,